Welcome to Apostrophe Cast. In the first half of November, we are treated to the wise domestic humor of B.J. Hollers. A father's patience with a mouse is set against the background of a family losing patience with him. As he loses his eldest daughter to a boyfriend, he must struggle with his squandered authority and his own impotent jealousy. Please enjoy Infestation.
According to some, we are in the throes of an infestation. I organize the family meeting. All right, listen, folks, I say, pacing back and forth in front of the couch. That mouse is as much a part of this family as any of us. Janice puts the magazine down, her interest perked by my reasoning. I turn my attention back to the girls. I say this because it's important to me, I explain, pausing for emphasis, using my hands when I speak. That mouse is vital to all kinds of food chains. Do we have to review the food chain again? Tina and Trish shake their heads, no, not again. We've covered that in the last family meeting. My family appears attentive as I talk to them, and their attentiveness is an invitation to continue. I explain that yes, we've had a few awkward run-ins with the mouse, but that in reality, he's probably a lot more scared of us than we are of him. I'd heard this to be true of snakes as well. Trish's cell phone rings, and she excuses herself. It's Danny. Lately, it's always Danny. Danny with the 10-speed Huffy perpetually barked by the fence. Danny with the 5 o'clock shadow saddled around his lips. What about you, Tina? I ask, bending low, placing my hands on my knees to discuss the situation with my youngest. You think we can all just try to coexist with that baby mouse, right? Quite the precocious kindergartner, she says, what's vermin, Daddy? Who taught you that? Well, Mommy, because Mommy says you're making us live with vermin. And squalor, sweetie, Janice pipes up. I also said Daddy's making us live in squalor. I rub my hands together and, understanding that we are on the brink of revolution, I adjourn the family meeting. Tina wanders over to the television and begins searching for the remote control. I take the opportunity to tell Janice that I don't appreciate her undermining me in front of the kids, and she takes the opportunity to tell me that she doesn't appreciate living with vermin. So I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree, I shrug, walk away. Guess so. I'm leaving the living room, scooting past Trish on her cell phone when Janice continues. And besides, she shouts, I don't undermine you in front of the kids. I undermine you in private. There's a bicycle park beside the fence, so I put an extra burger on the grill. I don't even know where they're at, so I begin shouting. Hey, Trish, I call. I'm in the backyard, though my voice carries. Honey? Her head pops from the upstairs window. Yeah, she asks. Is Danny up there, sweetie, I ask. Yeah. So, want me to throw another burger on the grill? She sticks her head back in the window to relay the message. You don't have to, she asks, reappearing. He's already eaten. Oh, it's no problem, I say. I already did. Then why'd you ask? I press the spatula hard against the meat, listen to the grease fall to the flames. I take a step back from the heat and turn my face to keep my eyes from watering. Huh? Oh, never mind, I say, changing the subject. You got that bedroom door open, right, sweetie? Yes, Dad, she groans. I am mortifying. I am reminded of this regularly. She slams the window shut, and I toss a little garlic salt on the burgers. I glance around, realize that the backyard needs to be cut, but otherwise, the house is in shipshape. Nothing squalorly about it. A few minutes later, I step back inside the house, begin rummaging through the fridge for sliced cheese, and that's when the mouse appears. I hadn't seen him all day, but like a furry lightning bolt, he skitters across the tiled kitchen floor and positions himself behind a stool. I'll be damned, I smile, then unwrap a bit of newly retrieved cheese, toss him a corner. Of course he doesn't touch the stuff, it's too cliche, even for him. Well, what do you want, I ask. Hamburger? Do mice eat hamburger? I tiptoe back to the grill, jab a piece of ground beef at the edge of the spatula, then juggle the sizzling meat between my hands as I run back to the kitchen. He's gone now, of course he is, and I reach for a paper towel, toss the meat on to keep it cool. Hey, mouse, I whisper, bending low, peering beneath the cabinets. Where'd you get to? What are you doing, Daddy? Tina asks. She's come from behind, along with her stuffed bear Esmeralda, and her mother, too. Who are you talking to? Janice demands. I glance at mother, then daughter, realize that they're exact replicas of one another. What was my contribution, I wonder, to the gene pool? What? Talking? Who was talking? You were talking, Vince. We both heard you. I rumble my lips and roll my eyes. Sure, ladies, if you say so. Guess old crazy dad's just talking to himself again. I'm walking back to the grill, but I turn around and say, someone shot up to Trish and her boyfriend. Dinner's ready. His name's Danny, Janice reminds. I close the screen door to keep the flies out. Is that what his name is this week? Everyone says the burgers are delicious. Well, not everyone, but Danny. At least he knows who to suck up to. Really good, he repeats, his mouth full, chunks of lettuce and tomato edging their way out. Mm-hmm, really good. Well, thank you, Danny, I reply, then nod to Trish as if documenting evidence of my efforts towards her boyfriend. So tell us about the car wash, Janice says, reaching for the salad bowl in the center of the table. Recently, Danny has managed a part-time job at Mike's car wash. The celebration for his employment has yet to die down, and on every occasion, somebody asks him about it. Oh, it's still really great, he says, wiping his mouth with his napkin. His dark curly hair makes him look clownish. He nods in my direction, and I try to nod back. I know that any week now that face of his will break out with a plague of acne, and that my daughter, hopefully, will have the good sense to move on. You can tolerate this, I assure myself, just until nature takes its course. Like, I know all the right buttons to push and everything, the wax button and the undercutting button. He shrugs, casually. In fact, I could probably score you guys some free car wash coupons, he says to Janice. I just don't want to take too many or else they start to notice. Well, that's very sweet of you to offer, Janice says. I want to make a comment about integrity in the workplace, but I ask for the ketchup instead. So you got any career plans, I ask him, reaching for my iced tea. Thinking about maybe starting a car wash franchise of your own one day? Going into business, maybe, real estate, medical field. Tina laughs, and Trish puts a hand to her forehead and says, I am, once again, mortifying. He's 15. Of course he doesn't have plans, she answers for him. Excuse me, Trish, that question was actually directed to David, not to you. It's Danny, sir, he reminds me. Well, right, yeah. Any plans, Danny? He can only stare at his burger for so long before glancing up. Maybe real estate, he asks, floundering, assuming this the most likely of the choices. Real estate, good choice. So tell me, Danny, are you leaning towards residential or commercial? I ask, nodding, putting all my effort into appearing completely absorbed in this discussion. I'll give it a rest, Janice sighs, though Tina is still laughing, ebbing me onward. The second, Danny says, commercial? That's right, I say, very good, it's called commercial, for businesses and such, for shopping malls. He nods. Yeah, that one. A momentary silence, and we peer down at our plates. Well, I'm stuffed, Janice says at last, then smiles at him sympathetically, gives him the out. He seizes the chance, takes his plate to the sink, and Trish follows. We're going for a walk, she says, and before I can even say, have a good walk, Trish and Dave, they've already gone, and I'm wondering if this is what Janice is talking about when she calls me alienating. In bed that night, I listen as Janice and I shift in the covers. For hours, we remain trapped in this land of half-sleep, and we rustle and roll and toss about until we've tangled ourselves adequately in the sheets. It used to never be like this. No groaning, no tugging of sheets. By 3 a.m., it is evident that at least for tonight, our sleeping situation is not functioning, and I don't bother closing my eyes any longer. It's been raining for hours, and from my place on the bed, I can hear it. When the first drops fell, I've been cleaning the grill, dumping the used charcoal into a side lot adjacent to the house. And from there, I'd seen Danny and my daughter running back to the house hand in hand. They hadn't seen me bent low beside the grill, so I just watched them run, watched them just laugh and laugh as if nothing could be better than the coming downpour. Kids, I thought, shaking my head. But I didn't know what to think beyond that. I yawn as I listen to the rain dabbing at the windows. Then I untangle myself, squeeze off the mattress, and head into the bathroom. Take a piss, clean the toilet seat of my missus, then glance out the window and spy that 10-speed Huffy leaning casually by the fence. Jesus Christ, already I am too old for this, and they are too young. I don't think, there is no time for thinking, she is only 14 and I do not think at all, I just act instinctually. My fatherly intuition hard at work, I maneuver past the clothes scattered on our bedroom floor, maneuver more through the hallway to her bedroom. I remind myself not to touch him, not to lay one goddamn finger on him. There are lawyers, I think, who will take everything from you. Trish! I shout in a whisper, swinging the door open.
Where's he at?
She mutters, propping up slightly on her elbow. What do you want, Dad?
There's a bike, I say, out of breath, glancing around the room, inside the closet, beneath the bed. Danny's bike is leaning against the fence.
Yeah, I know, she says, still groggy, because his mom picked him up because of the rain.
Shit.
Lie to her. I know, baby, I say, walk towards her, brush the wispy blonde hair away from her face. I was just seeing if you wanted me to wheel it in the garage for him so it doesn't get too wet.
Well, I guess, she says, falling back to the pillow, if you want to.
I do it anyway. I find a pair of Janice's flip-flops and I open the garage door, flip-flop all the way to the fence, and push the kickstand up, wheel it in noisily. The wind rocks and trees as rain tinks down gutters. From the cold drizzle, I can feel goosebumps forming on my chest. I close the garage door, take a look at the bike, consider letting the air out of all the tires. I don't. I just look it over, touch the chain with the edge of my finger, realize it could probably use some oil. But to hell with them. I walk back inside, rubbing my eyes. In the kitchen there, beside the stool, is that mouse again. I smile at him, suddenly wide awake, and I hunker low, offer him my empty fingers. He's gray, not cute and white, but normal. You want some food, pal? I ask. Either way, I don't do anything about it. For a few minutes, I don't move at all. I just watch him watching me. I make faces at him, try a few rounds of peekaboo. Losing interest, he moves towards the living room, disappears beneath the couch. Gonna need better hiding spots than that, I whisper, then crawl back up the stairs. Stepping into the bedroom, Janice says, "You're wet." It's so dark I can't even see her. Yeah, I know, I put Danny's bike in the garage. She agrees, then shifts some more as I crawl in beside her. Can I ask you something, she mumbles, and I tense up. Ask me what? Why ask a question about asking a question? What's that? Why do you insist on that mouse? Can't we just get a trap? It's a mouse, Vince. I'm quiet for a moment. No, I whisper, feeling noble. We really cannot. Well, why, she asks, flipping her pillow to the cool side. Because, I say, surprisingly honest. It's just nice to have another guy around sometimes. She groans. You don't even know if he's a guy. You're right, I agree, then free up some of the blankets for her. Sweet dreams. There are last straws, accusations. The mouse got into the cereal box, there are mouse droppings on the stove, it smells like a mouse in here. Well, what do you want me to do, I ask Janice. Train him not to smell? Not to poop on the stove? It's a few days later, and enough is enough, she says. For the past few nights, we've been on 24-hour mouse surveillance. There have been several sightings. Daddy, he's in my bedroom, right now, Tina screeches, barreling down the stairs as Janice lectures. See, I say, turning to my wife. Even Tina thinks it's a he. Are you going to take care of that, or am I? Janice asks. Her posture tells me she's serious. Serious how, I am not sure. I glance at Tina, who is jumping up and down. He's behind my dresser, and he's got all those teeth, and he keeps saying, eep, eep, eep. Danny and Trish reveal themselves from the living room. Just kill it, Daddy, Trish pleads. I can't recall the last time she called me Daddy, or the last time I've killed anything. But I do as I am told. I do what is required of me. It's a long walk up those stairs, and with each step, I try to piece together a plan. A weapon, I think. I'll need a weapon. Like Clue. Vince in Tina's bedroom with the candlestick. But there are no candlesticks upstairs, no revolvers. Instead, I empty out a shoebox and place it on one end of the dresser, and on the other end, I barricade the exit with a damp towel from the floor. From above, I watch my shadow bearing down on his. Just get in the goddamn box and make it simple, I order. Come on, please. He doesn't seem willing, and I want to remind him of all those offerings of foods, all those peekaboo games. Had they meant nothing? I begin dropping things, pennies, figurines, a music box, and eventually he concedes. He dabs his mouse whiskers into a snowy white of the box, then takes a few steps further. I turn that box, slam the lid, listen to the scratching from the inside. Now just shut up, I murmur, and play dead. It is an even longer walk back down the stairs, and when I arrive at the bottom, I see my family and Danny peering up at the television. Are there mouse guts all over my room? Tina asks, scrunching her face, then grows excited at another possibility that hadn't occurred to her. Or are there mouse babies?
Honey, it's a male. Male mice don't have babies. Mom says you don't know if it's a male or not, she explains. Did you get it, Vince? Janice asks. Yeah, I got it. Okay, I say, offering a sigh, dead as a doornail. Hope everyone's happy. More scratching from the box, though. I clear my throat, try to drone out any signs of life. I'm just gonna go chuck it in the bushes. Thank you, Janice says without turning. I know that wasn't easy for you. Well, no, it wasn't, I say, but infestation averted, I guess. No one says anything. We flick channels, and already my heroics are forgotten. I sneak to the side lot beside the charcoal, and I release him. There are no formal goodbyes, no speeches about not making this any harder than it has to be. He is gone, sucked into the swelling earth, and I pick up the box and meander around the yard for a minute or two. I really do need to cut this grass, I think. From outside the window, I peer in at all of those women. They're everywhere. All three of them, surrounding, consuming, taking up space. Danny catches me looking, and I pretend to fiddle with something in the grass. A moment later, I hear the screen door open from behind. I turn around, see Danny standing there. Hey, he says. Hey, Danny, I say, rising. I wipe the grass from my hands. So how'd you kill it, he asks. Oh, I shrug, sucking in air. You don't want to know. He nods. He really doesn't. I doubt I could ever do that, he confides. Seriously, I'm scared to death of killing things. I kick at my shoes some and then say, oh, when you've got a family of your own someday, I'm sure you'll pick it up and do what needs to be done. He says he guesses. Already the conversation has turned awkward, but I have no exit, no getaway. I wonder if I should begin to bore him about lawn maintenance. Your wife, she was saying how you told her you wanted to keep that mouse because you were the only guy around, you wanted the company? I chuckle, shake my head. Oh, Janice, she comes up with some pretty strange things. Oh, Danny mumbles, puts his hand in his pocket and recedes, takes a step away from me. Because I was just going to say, I mean, I'm a guy, so at least there's one more guy around, you know, like, they've still got numbers, but... You know, I say, placing a firm hand on his shoulder, I appreciate that, Danny, very much, but I'm sure you're aware that we're two guys on opposite teams. I'm the father, you're the boyfriend, by nature, we're just on different sides. It's really nothing personal. Oh, he says, looking down. I take my hand away from his shoulder. I'm about to shift the conversation onto the subject of lawn sprays, but he continues first. But why, he whispers, why do we have to be on opposite teams? I glance back inside the house, watch my family laughing at something on the television. Well, to be frank, because a boy your age has appetites and undoubtedly wants to engage in particular acts with my daughter, and that is just something I can't bear to think about. Just try to see it from my perspective, okay? Honestly, sir, he says, speaking fast, throwing his hands up as if to protect himself. I mean, I'm really bad with stuff like that anyway, and I don't think Trish would even let me go much past second base, which is fine, and I won't even go past second base. I swear to you, I won't. From inside, more laughter. I glance over at the side lot, at the bushes there, and the mouse is nowhere to be seen. Danny looks so terrified, so young and terrified, and I don't know how to respond to that. But anyway, he says, hoping this will open up a means to end the conversation. I was just saying. I clear my throat, shift my weight from one side to the other, kick into the grass. Your bike chain, I tell him, squinting into the sun. Could use a bit of oil.
Thank you for listening. Please join us on November 21st for Josh Parkinson.